You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 13th, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where, hey, Matt Schlapp, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World has dozens of dishwasher models in stock and will haul your old one away and have a new one out to your house and installed. Hurry up quick. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Poor Matt Schlapp.
Matt Schlapp bitching on Twitter about having to wait a year for a dishwasher.
Oh,
it's going to take a year. This is just like the Carter administration.
You and I speculated that by dishwasher, he meant servant.
yes.
Who wants to work for nothing, you know, off books for, you know, a dollar a day. And that's going to take a year. I can't import people from the Philippines in less than a year. My God.
I can't get a visa for my dishwasher.
Right.
Well, and I loved your thought about, you know, and other people had this thought too, that the delivery man and company and whatever just didn't want to go to Mercedes and Matt Schlapp's house and do anything, install a dishwasher. And you said, you know, Matt Schlapp going to McDonald's to order a Big Mac meal. And sorry, that's going to be 2 weeks.
That'd be 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah, minimum 2 weeks.
Come back in 2 weeks and we'll have your hamburger ready.
And looks around like, what about that guy? That guy ain't you.
that guy isn't named Matt Schlapp.
So why don't you pedal your sorry ass back to your house and look at the gaping hole where your dishwasher used to be and contemplate your fucking life. Hey, Mercedes. Hey, how's it going? You know, she was a party girl before you got with you, Matt. So, Mercedes, uh-huh. How about a nice Frosty on the house, if you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I used to drive that Mercedes, if you know what I mean.
You're terrible. All right. Yeah, well,
these are terrible people. These are terrible people.
And they
people.
Deserve all of our crudités. They really
you
do.
You know what? You could take an Arctic core sampling drill. And drill it all the way down the Republican Party. At every level, they're shitty, awful people. All of them.
Yep.
All down to the grassroots. They're all awful people. The GOP should be celebrating. I don't know why our Never Trump friends are so glum and gloomy. I don't know why they're so freaked out about getting rid of Roe. This is what they've been working for.
For
40 years. To get their base to be this reprogrammable, this stupid, this credulous, that'll do anything that the boss man tells them to do and get rid of Roe.
They're losing their vote getter is the point. If Roe is overturned, then people can actually start looking at, you know, Rick Scott's tax policy and saying, oh, you know, I'm not a single issue voter anymore. Yeah. I mean, that is not to set aside the fact that bodily autonomy for women is being lost in the United States.
Not at all.
I won't trade that. But I think they're terrified. And
you remember Ronnie Cox in RoboCop?
Uh-huh.
Talking about, you know, Max 2000 or whatever it was. You know, we had military contracts for, you know, jillions of dollars. Who cares if it worked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a cash cow that was going to go on forever. Who cares if we ever actually got rid of Roe? Who cares? That's not the point. The point is to keep bilking the morons out of their Jesus money, thinking that we're on their side. And then you finally did it. You made their dreams come true. And it's this whole thing where if it came as a surprise overnight, okay, fine, I get it. You know, like I said yesterday, the entire Never Trump contingent pretends like Trump just snuck up on them in the night and whacked them on the head like El Kabong and just took their party. But guys, you have been working to get judges' litmus test for this very thing for 40 fucking years. Mm-hmm. And now you're all wet in your pants because you got what you prayed for?
Well, and don't forget your what I thought was one of your more brilliant pieces, Driftglass, about Little Red State Fundy.
Yeah.
That there were activists who are true believers,
right?
Who really, truly believe that Jesus wants this,
right?
And God wants this, and anyone who doesn't want this is Satan, is a pedophile, is whatever.
Yeah.
And they reached a critical mass of powerful fundraising, driving voters, etc., where they looked at the numbers and looked at the places where people were fundraising on this issue and not delivering.
Right.
And started saying, look, you better deliver on this or we're going to pull our support from you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, yeah. Oh, no, don't worry about it. Judges. Vote on judges. And that's what McConnell said, right? Yeah. That's why Trump and McConnell delivered for those people, judges.
Mm-hmm.
And then the judges, some of whom are among the ranks of those true believer, everybody's a pedophile except for us. Mm-hmm. Turns out that's actually the opposite. Awful lot of pedophiles in that growing list at Daily Coast of people involved with little kids, you know, and child porn.
They delivered on what they promised, mm-hmm. on what they had been wishing for. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is, I realize, a recurring theme on this podcast. By the way, this is episode 650. That's 650. That's 650 weeks, consecutive weeks of podcasting. So no wonder I feel so goddamn tired. but the recurring theme is that the people who you now see on MSNBC, who, you know, recently former Republicans, who are all just, you know, panties in a bunch over how crazy their party is, but really isn't it both sides, those people, all knew this. They all knew that the base was fucking nuts. They all knew that they were gullible, inbred morons. And they fed them red meat and they fed them lies in exchange for votes and money. And they thought, you know, they would never have to pay a price. There'd never be a price.
Well, they also knew, because they're not stupid,
mm-hmm.
that this issue would kill them in the suburbs.
Sure. Sure. So it was never going to happen.
They were always riding this balancing act of promising their base the moon and then withholding it, or knowing that saner. I guess that's the theme, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Always expecting someone else's saner head to prevail.
Well, and didn't Mitch McConnell say that exact thing?
He did.
Our Democrats across the aisle will bail us out, will save us from this.
Yep. Yep.
And because they fucking well knew they were creating a monster. And I mean people that you hear on MSNBC every day, people who have 1.5 million followers, people who make millions of dollars on their own websites and on their book tours. All of them knew their party was fucked in the head for decades. And they were all perfectly, it's like the housing bubble. They didn't care. I'll be gone. You'll be gone. You know, should this thing ever blow up, I'll be retired and living, you know, on a ranch in Montana. Mm-hmm. I'll be living on a beach in South America. I will never be responsible for the catastrophe I created. And they didn't get out of the blast radius fast enough. And now they have to make up a lot of funny little stories how they never knew, or how this was unpredictable, or how it's both sides, or how really the liberals calling us racist made us racist. And they have, very much like exactly after the Iraq war fell apart, they have willing partners in the mainstream media, because the mainstream media went right along with this the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
They
armpit deep for the war. Absolutely.
They fucking well knew the Republican Party was crazy. Chuck Todd is on a podcast radio show I put on my blog years ago called The Moment, where he says, you know, these people come on my show every week. I know they're crazy. I know people are lying to me all the time. And some the crazy ones are really crazy. But it's not my job to tell my audience that, because now I'm in show business. My job is to sort of have them tell a story, ask them a couple of questions, don't push them too hard or they won't come back. That's my whole job. My job isn't to expose the truth. My job is to give these assholes a platform and never tell the audience what they really are like or what they really believe or how terrifying they are, because that's show business insider information.
All right. But that leads me to a question for you, Driftglass. Am I allowed to just jump right into the main theme of our show?
When you jump around the notes, honey, I get so confused. I can't follow anything. But I'll try to keep up, okay? I'll try to keep up.
Driftglass types the notes himself. So I do. He's making a little dig at me about that, but that's okay. He types the notes. I cut out from the notes in the audio what it is that I don't want to have in there.
Well, to be fair, it's one long unpunctuated sentence. So
it is.
It's just that's one how block he does of text. It.
That's sure, how he makes you know. Sure I don't edit him out.
But me and E.E. Cummings, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No capitalization. No, nothing.
No, fuck you. Fuck you, E.E. Cummings.
No, but the question that I have for you, Jeff Glass, and just imagine, sit back and imagine yourself.
Oh, imagination.
In a panel discussion, let's say maybe a book signing or a book little seminar.
A book little, okay.
Where some never Trumper, conservative pundit.
Nameless, shall we say.
Nameless, but you know, fill in the blank. It can be Charlie Sykes. It can be David Brooks. It can be anybody, Chuck Todd, whoever. Anybody you want.
Yeah.
Someone in the cable news environment.
Yeah.
And you or someone else asks him, you know, why is it that you're allowed to get away with not having known about Donald Trump? And then 2 years later, you know all about it. Or 4 years later, you are a wise sage about, you know, the not only that the Republican Party has huge problems and is terrible, but the Democrats helped.
Right.
And how is it that you're able to get away with it? And in this moment of candor, white guy, semi-conservative, never Trumper pundit says. But
let's just say older white guy to older white guy. There's no one else listening. You can tell me, Charlie.
The OWG, one to another.
Sure.
Older white guy. What is it? And in a moment of candor, he says to you, or he says to whoever, look, this is a show. My job as a cable news pundit is to fill the space between pharmaceutical commercials with semi-erudite, news-based commentary.
Right.
My audience is other older white guys, mostly, and other news junkies who want a semi-educated, certainly, you know, correct punctuation filler. They want to be able to watch this show to tell them about the current state of politics in a way that is digestible for white America, college educated, you know, middle management America watching cable news at the airport. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what my job is to fill that space. What I get for that job is a chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
And which pays for my two houses and my sub-zero refrigerator and my fancy dishwasher.
My wife and my mistress. So
my wife and my mistress.
Sure.
It pays for that lifestyle. The other part of my remuneration for this job is nobody asked me what I said 2 years ago. That's part of the deal.
And that's part of the deal across all media platforms.
Right.
If I
the
show
New York
up,
Times editorial page and MSNBC, no one is going to ask me to check my words from 2018.
Or for any point in the past beyond
any
this
point. Right. That and it's just the deal. It's a job. I am part of the cable news industrial complex, entertainment complex. That fills the time between commercials. And yes, when there's breaking news, it's covered as straight news on CNN and MSNBC.
Right.
But in the meantime, when there isn't much happening, I'm there to wag my jaw, fill the space. And this is why people feel with at the end of the day.
Right.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Exactly. I know who you're talking about.
Because the job isn't to make news. The job is to be a droning presence that fills the space between commercials.
The job, if I may summarize, Mr. Sykes, the job is to give your audience the illusion of truth.
And the illusion of having an educated take
on
the political angles of the day.
You want your audience to feel smart without actually knowing much of anything.
Right. It's oatmeal. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
And so if I had this space carved out for me where, you know, I got whoever it is whacked up with that undisputed truth drug from Kill Bill and they had to answer me honestly, or they were just like, fuck it, I don't care.
Or they all of a sudden turned into Steve Schmidt on Twitter,
That's it.
I got to sell my Substack. I'm going to really tell the truth from now on.
I don't have a book to sell, but I'm going to sell the shit out of my Substack. So I'm telling the truth. Well, the first thing I would say is, I think you're mistaking your audience. I think you're misnaming them. I don't think they're necessarily educated, substantive white people. I think more accurately, they're cowards. Because what you sell them, and you got to acknowledge that you're selling them stuff. These people walk away believing they've learned something. What you sell them constantly is that both sides are equally bad. That is always the party line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it ever wasn't the party line, if you took your trusted position as the teller of truth to these people and said, look, the real problem is me and my party have been fucked in the head for 40 years. We've ripped you off. We've lied to you. I got 2 houses and 4 mistresses and 9 boats out of you chumps. And you can't handle the fact that your choice is actually between a fascist party and a normal political party that's trying to do stuff in a normal governing way. Mm-hmm. You don't mm-hmm. want to hear that, because that would make you, the viewer, have to make a decision, mm-hmm. actually have to take a position. And the thing you fear most as a bland, you know, dumbass, middle-class, TV-watching, I want to feel smart, but I don't want to be smart person is I don't want to have to choose. I want to float above it all and cynically dispense my wisdom and say, everyone's equally bad. Everyone's well,
and
terrible.
those Everyone's people off. Might, however, be mm-hmm. Regular party line Democratic voters.
Might be.
They might be.
Might
but
be.
They don't want to have a fight with the guy on the golf course who's a right wing asshole who they want sure. to sell sure. that lake house to, because they're in real estate and they're not going to they're going to be a coward in front of him because their commission depends on it.
Right.
And some of go ahead.
But in the privacy, of their own home.
Mm hmm.
They choose to listen to these people who tell them lies.
Yeah.
They on the golf course, you can lie your ass off. You can call, you know, Joe Biden a communist. You can say Barack Obama was actually born in Kenya. You and I both know, don't we, Phil? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though I'm a Democrat, you know, that guy never had me fooled. You can run all this shit in public. In mm-hmm. the privacy of their own homes, these people want to hear that there is no difference, that they're the smart ones, that there's no distinction between those crazy AOC leftists and those crazy Donald Trump rightists, and you're smart to be right in the middle of it, bitching that you don't have a third choice, a third party to choose from. That's what they – and that is the slop you get fed by every one of these assholes mm-hmm. all day long. And you can hear it coming in their sentence. You can hear it coming. You can hear on Morning Joe the ramble, ramble, ramble. It's like music. Mm-hmm. You can hear mm-hmm. the beat, you can hear the tempo, and you can hear them change.
And all of a sudden you hear the chorus.
And yep. the left is blah, 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 blah. It's always there. It's always there. So this is part of the show business portion mm-hmm. of our show. Mm-hmm. So then I would ask Mr. Whoever I'm talking across the table from. But you understand what you're telling them is not true, right? Do they think it's true? The stuff that you're telling them that
We're
you
missing
know isn't
that.
True.
We're missing that component of information. We're right. missing the... Yeah.
You know it's not true, right? I mean, you've read Dana Milbank's book and you've suddenly discovered that your party has actually been fucked in the head for 20, 30, 40 years. So you know that what you're saying is bullshit. You're putting on clown makeup and you're putting on a show. You're doing what prostitutes do. You're dressing up in a little costume and telling the client what he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So great. You're in show business. You're not in news business. But the people who walk away from hearing you say this shit are just as uninformed as the people who walk away from Fox News who are telling them that Joe Biden's a communist. So my question is, your whole shtick now is how much you love the country, how much you love America, how much our democracy is in danger. Don't you think what you're doing is causing danger to our country? Don't you think you are contributing to the problem and always have ever since you got on the both sides do a gravy train? Mm-hmm. Aren't you part of the problem? And why do you keep doing it if you really do care about this country? For which I don't think there's a good
answer.
And I
want to add the component of the fact that they are engaging and cooperating with a system mm-hmm. that is completely asymmetrical warfare.
Sure.
Because yep. Fox yep. and Newsmax have Newt Gingrich on. Fox had Newt on this week.
Last night. So last night.
And if you have ever Googled, in quotation marks, Newt Gingrich blames.
Right.
That's all the evidence you need. Over and over again, Newt Gingrich is a noun, a verb, blame Democrats.
He takes
whatever headline is out there today and makes it the fault of liberals.
Let me just add this one thing.
Uh-huh.
30 years ago, Newt Gingrich was clawing his way to the top of the Republican Party by blaming liberal values and Democrats for Susan Smith murdering her children.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Look it up. That's what he did.
Yep.
30 years later, and the Republican, this is the good old days, remember? These are mm-hmm. the good Republicans. These are back before the bad Trump
before
people showed
up. Before
Trump. These
are the good people. Before Trump. Decades before Trump.
And the good Republican Party made this fucker their speaker.
Yep.
And once he was run out of office in disgrace, David Gregory picked him up and dusted him off and put him on as a regular feature on Meet the Press.
Because rehabilitated he would take his, whatever the headline was this week.
Right.
And blame Democrats, whatever it was, whether there was a shooting in Paris.
I understand.
Right.
I don't care. David Gregory put this monster on television.
Yes, he did.
Every week.
And the NBC suits. Yes, he did.
I understand that. And then he would fuck up and say something racist, and David Gregory would have him back on. And he'd fuck up again, David Gregory would have him back on. Mm-hmm. And everyone after Chuck Todd took over didn't remember that David Gregory ever hosted Meet the Press.
Yeah.
So there's a complete, you know, there's no memory that this ever happened. But 30 years ago, Newt Gingrich climbed to the top of the shit pile that is the Republican Party, claiming liberals want to kill babies.
Yep.
Last night, he's on Laura Ingraham saying Democrats want to elect extreme senators because Democrats want to kill babies.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't changed in 30 years because he's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed is that the rest of the party stopped pretending that it was anything other than something that came out of Newt Gingrich's sphincter.
Mm-hmm.
That it was anything other than what it was all along. The masks have dropped. And that's what Trump gave them permission to do.
Yes.
They love Newt Gingrich. They made him their speaker. And after him, it was Tom fucking DeLay. These people have always been awful. And Trump finally said, look, it's like after a big Thanksgiving dinner. Just loosen your belt and sit back. Enjoy the fact you're a racist. Lean into the fact that you're an asshole. I'm an asshole. Look at me. I'm president of the United States. Look how well I'm doing. I'm a rich asshole who says racist shit and people love me. So quit pretending to be anything other than the scum that you are and revel in it, roll in it, rub their face in it. And all the Never Trumpers are horrified, not because these people suddenly change, because all of them have the same alibi. These people I knew for 25 years suddenly changed overnight. They're suddenly different people. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're being themselves. You're the idiot who thought they were being sincere when they said they cared about budgets and shit. They never cared about shit. So
I realize you and I are sailing on two different frisbees here.
Sure.
But I wanted to add that Fox this week also had Sean Hannity interfering, directly interfering in the Pennsylvania primary, Republican primary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Specifically campaigning against the black woman candidate who is nuts. They're all nuts. But the one they don't want because they know they'll lose is this one with this African-American woman with a crazy Twitter history.
Yeah.
And they want to get her off the stage. She's going up in the polls. They want to get her off the stage quickly. And Sean Hannity devoted a segment of his show to doing the work of the RNC as usual.
Yep.
And then that same night, here comes Tucker Carlson. He's on before Hannity, but Tucker threatening to primary senators who vote for Ukraine aid.
Right.
Why can't we find some billionaire to primary these senators, primary these House members? And no one mentions the fact that the entire Republican Congress, every Republican Congress, has a Fox News producer on speed dial to find out what to say, to find out how to get a segment on TV, and uses that, you know, it's that symbiotic relationship with a cable news network to do their campaigning for them.
Right.
That's asymmetrical to what MSNBC and CNN are doing.
Sure. And as I told Nicole Sandler earlier this week, thank you for inviting me on your show, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole.
When she had a friend of hers come in and want to know where was all the pearl clutching when something. I just kind of sighed and said, you know, you're playing to an empty house.
Mm-hmm.
There are no undecideds out there anymore.
Right.
There are people who are cowards and hiding in the middle and will not listen to anyone who tells them that there's a difference between the two parties. They don't want to hear it because they're cowards. They want to believe that they're the cynical, smart people who watch Meet the Press and they're above it all. And both politics is so dirty and Congress is the reason things happen. Not the Republican Party plus Joe Manchin, but Congress is bad. And they want to just sort of be aloof from the whole process. And then you have people on the right who are brain dead, who are unreachable zombies. Forget them. Fuck them. You're never going to reach them. And then you have people that agree with you more or less. So the cycle of, can you believe Republicans did this? And can you believe they have that? I agree with you. Not with you personally, but I agree with the observations. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering how much longer a media that does nothing but look with alarm. Because that's all Jon Stewart ever did.
Yeah.
He pointed a camera at Fox News and says, can you believe these fuckers? And everyone laughed. Mm-hmm. And now
Bullshit
MSNBC.
Mountain. Yeah. Bullshit Mountain. Yeah.
And they haven't stopped. They haven't changed. They haven't gotten any better. They haven't improved. The polls haven't moved.
And they've shielded themselves from responsibility by saying, we're an entertainment network. No one would believe, their attorneys say, no reasonable person would believe that this is news. That's what they go into court and say. Yeah.
They've shielded themselves from legal liability. But other liability, and I will confess, I listened to Mr. Rick Wilson, and I'll bring him up in a little while. But Mr. Rick Wilson, when he was doing focus groups, saying that going down and telling people, you know, what would you think if I told you that Donald Trump has been bankrupt 5 times? The answer from the focus group in 2015 or 16 or whenever he conducted it wasn't, well, that sounds weird or that's awful. It's, you're lying. Mm. He was never bankrupt. That's fake news.
Yeah.
You know, you can't reason with these brain dead morons. You can't. Right. It doesn't matter. So the idea that Mitch McConnell did a thing today that's finally going to blah, 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 break the fever is insane.
They're ludicrous. Drug addicts. I'm really convinced they're drug addicts. And this is their drug.
This is the metaphor I've been using since 2012.
Yeah. Right.
And they're junkies. And the junk keeps getting worse because addicts don't care.
Yeah.
You know, you can just keep getting deeper and deeper down in the dumpster, but they don't care. So Mitch McConnell just lie to you tomorrow, lie to you the next day. They don't care. All they know is that whatever they are, whatever they do, however much their own shit they're wallowing, no matter how much their own votes hurt them and kill their family members, somewhere out there a liberal is crying and suffering, and that's what makes them happy. They've turned into a party of sadists, and sadists want to see you suffer. Mm-hmm. So as long as Donald Trump promises to make you and me suffer, blue gal, they love him. And there's no reasoning with that. And there's no amount of proof you can haul to the evidence table and say, will you finally please fucking notice that you've been lying? They've been lying to you all this time. The answer is no, you're lying. No, you're fake news. No, fuck you, communist. So my advice to liberals out there generally is stop it. Stop trying to talk to creatures that do not, that tell you to your face, I will not listen to facts or reason. Yeah, but what about? Maybe you didn't understand it when I said the first billion times. I am not going to listen to facts or reason. But what about, like, you're just wasting your time and energy.
Yeah.
When you should be doing postcards to voters.
Postcards to voters. I mean, in the national sense, if you can work with a neighbor on fixing a sidewalk.
Oh, sure.
If you can work with them on a church committee where your where our church tower fell down, and we had to fix it, not rebuild it, but we had to make sure that bricks didn't fall on people as they walked by.
God smote us. Okay, we're not going to lie. No. God struck
us now. Us United Methodists got smote.
Yeah.
At any rate, there are people on the committee who say, you know, I think Sean went a little too far last night.
Right. That's right.
But I can work with them on, you know, the church tower stuff.
Right.
You know, getting estimates and making sure. But we don't talk politics.
No.
Sean went a little too far last night, I would say.
And let's be clear. There are lots of reasons not to talk about politics in every venue that you visit.
Right, right.
The first is, I don't want my reputation entering the room before I do.
No, I understand
want to be in control of what I say and do and what people know about me. I'm not ashamed of my politics. I will talk politics all day long. But I think there are times and places to argue about these issues. And I sincerely believe that the people that we're thinking of cannot be converted.
No, can't absolutely be saved.
There's no point in arguing with them about, because they will not listen to reason. They will not listen to facts. You can bring up the shit they said yesterday and they'll swear they never said it, or they'll say the conditions are changed. Mm-hmm. Or, as always, liberals are worse. What does it matter if Mitch McConnell lied about this? Liberals are worse. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting at a venue just recently next to someone who was all angry that Ketanji Brown Jackson probably lied under oath. he could feel that angry black woman thing seething under her surface. And he wanted to know why I wasn't outraged that she probably lied under oath about some fucking book that she said she hadn't read, about like ninth grade, sixth grade, you know, mommy has a black friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I believe she said, like, I'm not familiar with that. And he was indignant that this woman would lie under oath to get a job on the Supreme Court. I'm like, and you just know, if you lined up all 5 Supreme Court justices, so let's say that she just, you know, she fudged a little bit. She said she didn't remember it or didn't read it. It's a fucking book that has nothing to do with anything that this asshole is trying to bait her into having an issue over. And she's not going to do it. and has nothing to do with her judicial temperament at all, versus the five assholes from your party who lied under oath about basic judicial principles and the precedents of Roe over and over and over and over again to get a job on the Supreme Court so they could kill Roe versus Wade. And I guarantee you that person would say, well, you know, everybody lies. Both sides lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. You could carve it into a 2x4 and beat him on the head with it, and it still will not make an impression, because these people are beyond reason. I don't think liberals quite understand what that means. Is there some trick? Is there some lockpick I can use? No, they are beyond reason. Stop trying to talk to them about anything other than patching potholes and fixing church towers.
Right, right.
They are not here anymore. And focus on what you can do. Get your base out. Get anybody who's undecided or not clear or doesn't watch or hasn't been brainwashed or is like, I don't understand politics, or people who are 18, 19, 20, who are just turning, you know, just coming of voting age.
Get them registered, high school get them students to the polls. Who are turning 18.
That's what you can do. To the
polls. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I want to
tell me about Tom Nichols, Driftglass.
Well, I'll briefly. Mr. Tom Nichols, good old Tom. I refer to him internally as Mr. Expert Guy, because Tom Nichols is an expert on everything. He wrote a book about expertise. You know, I won Jeopardy 5 times. He's a smart guy. No lying, he's a smart guy. But Tom thinks we're idiots because we don't agree with Tom.
Oh.
And the problem is Tom has invested. Now, Tom, I don't give a shit what he does or thinks, except for the fact that he's occupying space on a cable news network that would be better spent with, I don't know, a trained chimp or someone juggling. But we're going to ask Tom his opinion about every fucking thing, and we're going to help him sell his book about what a smart person he is. But he has lots of opinions about things. And you know what? If he has opinions about Russia and that's his area of expertise, that's great. That's fine. I have no trouble at all. But he has opinions about all kinds of shit, like the fact that Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election because she's a terrible person and a terrible candidate.
Hmm.
And no less a person than Charlie Pierce weighed in and said, look, dude, 30 years of rat fucking by the Republican Party on the Clinton family,
mm-hmm.
you know. George Bush never had to deal with, you know, Vince Foster assassination bullshit from right. the Democrats.
Right.
And you got to admit that there's some truth to the fact that having the entire mainstream media beat the shit out of her all election long because they knew she was going to win.
Right.
And the right wing spending the last 30 years trashing the Clinton family had something to do with it.
The FBI like, no, director no. announcing an investigation.
Yeah, days before the election.
Days before the election.
And Tom Nichols, nope, 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 nope. Terrible candidate, awful person, you know.
She won by 3 million votes.
Yep, yeah, doesn't matter.
So yeah.
It's not that he's – Tom just is as a real fussy old lady when it comes to getting contradicted about mm-hmm. anything by anybody. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mm-hmm. like being – because his whole persona is, I'm Mr. Expert Guy. And he can't stand that he occasionally gets the shit slapped out of him in public on Twitter by know-nothing assholes like me or Charlie Pierce. And the second opinion he had was adorable when he was on a podcast recently. And he said, and I'm not quoting directly, but it was words to the effect of, you know, I warned the Democrats that this Roe stuff was going to come down to state houses and governors. But did they listen to me? No, they didn't. Let's go look at the social media feed. Look, here's Tom Nichols saying, sober up, people. The GOP's never going to overturn Roe. Roe's never going to be overturned. The Republican Party knows better than to overturn Roe. Calm down. Basically, ladies, stop being hysterical. Ladies,
calm down. You're being hysterical. Yes.
And the podcast I heard him on, the host very gallantly avoided mentioning any of the things that Tom Nichols had said. Because, you know, his job was to create a comfortable environment in which the host and the guest agree on almost everything. And the guest's stupid opinions are not contradicted by his own words from just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Now, the other end of the spectrum, I'd like you to talk a little bit about this, is there's a guy named Steve Schmidt.
Steve Schmidt, my new best friend, Driftglass. No, I'm just kidding.
Who, very much like Newt Gingrich, has had his career rehabilitated by Nicole Wallace,
yeah.
his old campaign pal from the
friend.
Bush years.
Yeah, yeah.
His career that he has set on fire in public 3 different times. She has
really?
pulled his ass out of the dumpster 3 different times, brushed him off, put it right back on television, and never asked him a question about the shit he just done. It's you know, I used to call him the Gingrich rules. We should call him the Schmidt rules, which is my job is to rehabilitate this idiot who keeps blowing up his own career. Yeah. And he's a well-spoken guy. He's very articulate. He's made a couple of monstrous mistakes, but he has an uncontrollably volcanic temper.
Yes, he does.
This week.
An ego the size of Montana.
Yeah.
Many people in his industry do.
Sure, sure. And I got to say, Manic Steve is more entertaining than Depressive Steve.
Manic Steve is something else.
Manic Steve spent the last week barrel bombing John McCain, his awful daughter, the media generally, and Win Red. And I heard you laugh.
Oh my god,
he went after Win Red.
He's going after Win Red. I guess he has to be my new best friend now. We're going to build bunk beds and have activities.
Did we just become best friends?
Friends. And thank you to those on Twitter who was like, oh yeah, Blue Gal, we know you've been on Win Red for a long time, which yeah. I have.
She has, absolutely.
But he called out people on Win Red for doing what I said they do, which is scraping money from the small donor base of the Republican Party and stealing it. And I mean, there's more to come on that. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene bought a car with her campaign money. $92,000 car, Driftglass.
Wow.
Not leasing a campaign vehicle, which every campaign is entitled to do. You need vehicles to move people around, to move the candidate around, etc. Got it. Nope. This was purchase. A $92,000 campaign vehicle.
Those K cars are...
Those K cars. They're collectible.
They really are. I want the DeLorean from that movie where the guy goes back in time to the 50s when everything was perfect.
I want the one that was hand-signed by Lee Iacocca in 1977. Yeah. Yes,
well,
right.
You know, there's a whole lot of quotes from Justified about what happens when you give a redneck money.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, this inbred moron who should be handing out samples at the Piggly Wiggly now has a shit ton of money,
right,
and a whole bunch of people calling her Jesus, and and she's like, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen to her.
And it's a license to money launder. It's a license to give. And I'm telling you, we're scraping around about this. I'm talking with other people about this. There's foreign people. I'm not being racist or anything here. I'm saying there are people who are not United States citizens involved in taking campaign money and then returning it to the campaign. I mean, this is money laundering.
Yeah.
And because there's such a eager flow of dollars, small donor dollars, to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now it turns out Lauren Boebert's got a book out.
Oh.
And on the ads that she has on her Twitter stream for the book, you buy it through Win Red.
Oh, God.
You have to go to winred.com/whatever, Lauren Boebert book, which means Win Red is taking 3.9% of the sales price of that book off the top. Mm-hmm. And somebody not Lauren Boebert and not Lauren Boebert's campaign, and not the Republican Party, and not the Republican National Committee, and is getting that money and walking away with it. It's untraceable dollars.
It's great.
Untraceable dollars.
The best kind of money.
It's like when Whitey Bulger won the lottery ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's now got a legitimate stream of funds coming to him. It is. You can say, oh, I got this from the sale of this book. That's where this money came from.
And pretty soon.
And it doesn't matter where it goes. Oh.
Saul Goodman's going to show up at her door going, here's how, here, do you understand placement and blending? Maybe you should open a nail salon. Maybe you should open a spa.
A series of car washes,
many, many Boebert's car washes.
Yeah. Where you take in $5 bills all day long.
Yeah. In cash. It's a cash business. The receipt is whatever you say the receipt is.
Yeah.
And nobody's the wiser.
Yeah.
That's small potatoes. Now it's a business. Now vacuuming money, untraceable money out of the pockets of idiots is now an industry.
Yeah. It turns out the average income of a person in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district is in the $51,000 range. She gave $44,000 to the Mar-a-Lago Club for one party, for one event. And that's, you know whose pocket that's going into.
Of course I do. It's a bribe.
It's a bribe.
I'm giving the orange god a bribe to say nice things about me. And it's tribute. You got to pay tribute to the
And you
to
know
the
losing candidate in Ohio who did not get Trump's endorsement, mm-hmm. Josh Mandel, had a $13,000 party at Mar-a-Lago.
Of course.
That lost him Trump's endorsement. Herschel Walker had a $30,000 party. Something I know. I think it was a $130,000 party. It was at like six digit party, quote unquote, at Mar-a-Lago. And I tweeted, if only Josh Mandel had added a zero
mm-hmm.
to the party bill.
Right.
He'd get the endorsement. It is bribery.
Well, and
so anyway, getting back to Steve Schmidt, Steve Schmidt is calling this out. What happened was Saturday night. Steve Schmidt's on Twitter.
On his
I don't know how
scotch.
Much he had to drink.
Yeah.
No one knows what on a Saturday night, what Steve Schmidt is doing with his time, but he's on Twitter
uh-huh.
and he notices that Meghan McCain liked a tweet that called Steve Schmidt a pedo. And that was it.
That was
off to the races, telling tales on Meghan McCain trying to hold up the campaign plane in 2008. And he was the only person on the campaign anywhere who could look at her and tell her, you are not important. You don't matter. And no one else had ever told her that in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on and on. And the thing is, people like Cliff Schechter and other people who are on campaign trail with Steve covering the campaign.
Right.
Come on Twitter and go, I can confirm.
In fact, in Cliff Schechter's case, here's my book. I wrote about this. Nobody wanted to hear about it, but I wrote about it.
Yep.
It started off with Meghan McCain, you know, you ignorant slut.
Right.
And then it went to John McCain being up to his eyebrows in Russian assets and Russian handlers and Russian people.
Paul
and
Manafort.
Money
and Paul Manafort's bloody fingers in the whole thing.
And you never knew what, you know, I respected your dad, but your dad was a fucking fool. Yep. And he let these people climb up his ass and he was out on a yacht.
On a yacht with the Putin puppet from Ukraine. Yeah.
None of which make the news. None of which, you know, because that would have harmed, you know, their straight
70th
talk.
Birthday on a yacht on the Black Sea. With, Putin's puppet. Yep.
Right. And he just kept tweeting and kept tweeting.
Well, the woman lobbyist who was allegedly had an affair with John McCain and the confession that John McCain did to Steve Schmidt of, yes, it's true.
We had
an affair. My campaign's over. And Steve Schmidt saying, no, it's not. We'll fix this. We'll fix this.
Yeah.
And making that story go away, that woman sued the New York Times unsuccessfully for $76 million.
Yeah.
Claiming that it was a lie that they'd had an affair. Turns out it wasn't a lie. Imagine the hubris of stooping a U.S. senator, candidate for president. And then when that slips out into the news stream that it's possible that there was an illicit relationship, you sue for slander for $76 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that side of the aisle has bullied and buffaloed and threatened and beaten the liberal media for so long.
Yeah.
But she had a fair shot that they would walk it back.
That they'd settle
or shut up or retract it or whatever.
Yep.
But it was your dad was as corrupt as fuck. He was a fool to let these people into his life. He lied
about
it.
And Russia Republican was older than Trump. This is the other thing that Charlie Sykes should have to answer for.
Yeah.
Because there's no way in hell that Charlie Sykes and his ilk didn't know about Paul Manafort's role.
Of course not.
I mean, you remember when Trump hired Paul Manafort?
Yeah. Well, Paul Manafort.
Finally, a professional is being brought in to the Republican candidacy, and this is going to get things in line.
Lee Atwater, Roger Stone, and Paul Manafort all opened their own offices together in D.C. during the Nixon administration.
Nixon's, yeah.
Lee Atwater was the explicitly racist, bomb-throwing scumbag that George H.W. Bush hired to get him elected president. Mm-hmm. He did it by running, you know, infamously racist ads. This is not new.
And push polling about John McCain's black baby in South Carolina. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. So
everybody knew every one of these. Yeah. Or alternately, if you didn't know any of this was going on, you are not qualified.
Then what are you doing politics?
Sitting your ass on that chair telling us about American politics and what's really going on in the GOP and what the you don't know shit. Your alibi is I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about or doing. But please let me keep my job at MSNBC. And that's why, as we say on this podcast, there are no actual liberals anywhere in this conversation. Right. Because some asshole who lives in Springfield, Illinois would say, well, wait a minute.
I'm going to pull receipts on this. Hold on a question. Minute.
I've got a couple of questions.
No fair remembering stuff, Drift Glass, and you're off the air.
Sorry, you must go now. Well, and that has happened to us, Blue Gal. Yes, it happened to us once. We made an appearance on a college radio station, and the college person who put us on the air, who's, you know, we want to hear from you. You guys are cool. You're local. We'd love to hear about you. Decided to jam into the middle of our conversation some right-wing nut job.
Yeah, and a phone-in question, right?
Who phoned in a lot to the show.
Yeah, he was a regular.
And who wanted to talk about abortion. And when you and I disassembled him at the molecular level, you want to change the subject to deficits. Yeah. And then I
started talking about the budget in granular terms. He said, well, I don't care about any of that. I really don't care about the budget. And that's when I was done.
And that's when I think I ruined our lives forever, Blue Gal. Because I did the one thing you're never supposed to do. I turned on the host.
We did. I wanted to know
why are you putting this asshole on the air? There's so little actual liberal conversation. Why are you importing shitty, awful right-wing opinions that you know are bullshit into the middle of a very tiny sliver of time when liberals actually get to talk on the air?
That is apparently yours to control.
Well, I think it just makes good radio.
It's good radio and entertaining and good ratings. Yeah.
I see. And we're done. And that's because we do the things you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's why if the more you listen to all of these programs, the more you notice that the prime directive of the guest is to affably agree with the host as much as possible.
Right.
Even when they're sitting across from you and you know they're lying. You know, I listened to Dana Milbank this week talk to Charlie Sykes. Dana Milbank has a book out in which he discovers that the Republican Party has been fucked in the head since Gingrich, which I hate to say everyone.
It's Steve Kornacki's book. I'm sorry. It is. Well, it's the same book as Steve Kornacki wrote.
It's the entire liberal blogosphere going back to the beginning of the liberal blogosphere.
It's
the openest of all open secrets that Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh and Dana Milbank even says, you know, some people put it back to Lee Atwater. Some people go with the Southern strategy. I'm just going to start with Newt Gingrich era. This is the span of time in which every one of your favorite recently former Republicans grew up in. This is the party they knew. They weren't around when Lincoln was doing shit. They weren't around during the Buckley years. Those weren't their formative years. Their formative political years were the Gingrich years, the Limbaugh years. And all these assholes, Charlie Sykes spent 30 years being the Limbaugh of Wisconsin. And he's sitting there looking at Dana Milbank going, you're kidding. Oh, my God. And Dana Milbank, this is my point being, Dana Milbank said, well, you know, even those of us who are political professionals didn't see it coming. You know, it's only now, retrospectively, that it's clear the Republican Party was heading in this direction. But none of us knew that Gingrich and Limbaugh and the rest of those would land us on January 6th. And that's why there's no liberal there. To say, Dana, fuck you. You know that's not true.
You know better. You know
that's
better.
Not true. But you don't want to make the host mad.
You decided to write a fairy tale.
Right.
Well, for Charlie Sykes on his show.
The book might be honest. I have no intention of buying it. You know, every liberal blogger out there wrote this fucking book. So we don't need to buy it or read it. But you are radically bending the curve so that your host won't be uncomfortable with you asking him questions like, how did you not know? How did you not know? You were in the middle of this shit. You were the one of those people. How did you not see it coming? And that's the one question you're not allowed to ask these people. And it just cracked me up.
I'm just really wondering now. Mm-hmm. We're still watching for the rebranding of the Republican Party.
Oh, it's coming.
And it's coming. And this new movement that will have nothing to do with Trump and will be reborn for Tom Cotton to run for president in 2024. Okay.
DeSantis.
DeSantis. Yeah. Well, one thing I noticed about the Steve Schmidt thing that I wanted to bring out was the Emperor's New Clothes moment, where either he or someone responding to him talked about QAnon and how nuts they are. And it was a Emperor's New Clothes moment. All of a sudden, everybody on Twitter is free to say, oh my God, I'm so sick of this Q nonsense.
Yeah.
And that to me is significant, that if we Howard Dean was talking about this months ago of the American people, as he, you know, puts it on TV, because I hate that term, but that's how he put it. American people are sick of this. Yeah. They may not be talking about it, but they're really sick of JFK Jr. is going to be vice president and Trump's going to be reinstated. And and now it's Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana are still alive. You know, it's a mental illness. It's seriously damaged people absorbing this nonsense and voting accordingly. And there really was a dam that burst this weekend. I saw just tons of anti-Q content from people who hadn't been talking about that before. And so that to me was a positive, that if something like, and I don't think Dana Milbank's book is going to have this kind of impact, but if we can have more of these moments where, as you said, cowards all of a sudden feel that it's safe to say, oh, and by the way, one of the reasons I won't vote Republican in 2022 is they've decided Q is okay. And that's just crazy. Oh, that's when you get that's when you get into conversations like I heard in 2008. You know, where even the waitress said, oh, you can't vote for McCain-Palin. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
You know, because no one wants to do that. They recognize how stupid she is.
What sort of asshole would vote for that?
Yeah, right. That's a critical mass thing that I think is coming. Speaking of that, I do want to thank our listeners for all of their kind words about my emotional memoir moment last week. I always feel safe in recording things and saying my piece and saying what I believe. It's a lot harder to press publish on something like that.
Yeah.
And you guys listening to us from your kitchen or your car or your kid's bedroom or wherever you've got those earbuds in at the grocery store.
Or overseas.
Yes. You make this a safe space for me. And I so appreciate it. Thank you for your support. Thank you for continuing to contribute to the GoFundMe for my hearing aids. That's going very well. Check that out on our website, proleftpod.com. The response of Republican senators in particular to the Roe bombshell from last week.
Yeah.
Of Ted Cruz saying nothing in your life will change.
Right.
By this. I don't know why people aren't going to make a big deal about this. This is not going to be an issue in November. He keeps saying over and over and over again.
Sure.
And Ron Johnson, who is really one of the stupidest senators. Sure. He literally, and I'm not making this up, recommended driving to Illinois to receive abortion care.
Look,
this is our friend Ten Grain at Mock Paper Scissors quoted the Wall Street Journal. It might be a little messy for some people, but abortion's not going to go away, said Ron Johnson, saying that driving across state lines to Illinois would likely be an option.
Sure. You know what? Just a brief aside. You and I both know Corey Jobe, who was our alderman for a while, and now
he was our alderman, a fabulous alderman, as a matter of fact.
Very fabulous alderman who moved away from Springfield so he could live a very happy life with his partner in Chicago.
Right.
And now he's part of the Three Rivers Conference and the tourism board. I would like to get on him about making this whole thing a positive.
Come to Illinois. Legal weed and abortions. Yes, guaranteed.
Rub Lincoln's nose, the Cahokia Mounds, Starved Rock, and an abortion.
Just health care for women.
Yeah, health care
for
women.
In general.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, as you pointed out to me, which I sort of knew emotionally, but you pointed out to me on the map that Illinois is surrounded two states deep on all sides.
Except for north and northeast, where there is only one state before you get to Canada.
Right.
But the rest of the map is two states deep. Every state has some sort of abortion restriction. Yes. Illinois is the island of, we guarantee you a right to abortion no matter what. You're a woman, you want an abortion, you get one. State law enshrines your rights.
And that's why Ron
Johnson is like, well, you can just drive to Illinois, you know.
And as we mentioned last week, our governor is on social media every 2 hours with a different version of the same ad. Yep. We here in Illinois protect women's rights. We here in Illinois will never strip your rights away. We here in Illinois do this and this and this. And it's all, and you know what? This, honest to God, is how you should message at the state level.
Yep.
Now he can't be the national voice of the Democratic Party.
No.
But he's one of the
He's not interested voices. In being that either. He loves being governor of Illinois. But he's
very clear, Illinois is a safe place for women and will remain so as long as I'm governor because the Democratic Party has made it so.
Yes.
It's very clear. Here's the value and here's the outcome. Mm-hmm. And here's and the
he's
party
not afraid that, to call out Republicans either.
No. Yeah. No. And I it's just we do have good messengers on our side. We do have good messages on our side. We just don't have a delivery system on our side that reaches anything like. I was. Let me transition into this, if you don't mind.
Well, there's one other thing I want to add about this, and this is from Liz Dye on Wonkette, and she said in response to why don't you drive to Illinois from Ron Johnson. Okay, she said. Nothing, and Ted Cruz, nothing will change in your life, so you might as well not. Please don't vote against Republicans over this one issue, because we're not changing anything for you, right? And Liz Dye spoke, I think, on behalf of suburban blue state white women. Nothing will change for me because I live in a blue state where abortion rights will be protected.
Right.
Also, I'm old, and anyway, women with money will always be able to get an abortion when we need one.
Exactly.
But unlike those rugged psychopaths in the GOP, I actually care about the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that the Republican Party doesn't get. I don't think they get the... And I hate to use the cliche, sisterhood is powerful, because that is a cliche. But the passion that women feel about Roe, whether they live in a blue state where their rights are guaranteed or not, that one state deciding to deny bodily autonomy to women is one state too many. This is the United States of America. And women... American women should have a constitutional right to bodily autonomy and privacy. And this is personal to us, regardless of whether our particular state enshrines those rights or not.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Well said, Lou. That's excellent.
It's just true. And we're going to vote accordingly.
Yeah.
Our money is going to go to states where we can kick these sons of bitches out of office.
I think Republicans understand half of that. Mm-hmm. They understand, oh my God, Democrats actually care about people. That means we can hold those people hostage to get what we want. Yeah. We can threaten them and get half of everything we ask for. So we're going to kick people off of child support. We're going to kick people off of welfare. We're going to shut down healthcare services for the
poor.
We're
going to separate COVID aid from Ukraine aid and hold one hostage for the other.
We're going to put kids in cages. These idiots actually care about their fellow human beings like suckers.
Yeah.
So we can just use every at-risk population as a hostage to our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Democrats say, look, we have to give in or they're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
The dirtbag left can go, see, can't trust a Democrat.
See, both sides are the same.
These are the people who are willing to sacrifice everything for their glorious revolution that will never happen.
For the power.
I am not.
Yeah. News roundup. Senate Republicans and Joe Manchin blocked a bill to enshrine abortion rights into federal law, which would guarantee access nationwide if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. And Joe Manchin, that bullshit artist, oh, it goes too far. It does this. It does that. There is no fucking bill that he would have voted for.
No.
Period.
He's a liar. And the I forget the name of the reporter who said Congress blocked blah 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 and was gang swarmed, myself included, by no Republicans plus Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of passive, easy, lazy, lying propaganda that has convinced the scaredy cats in the middle that both sides are equal. And it's just everywhere. It's just it's like contaminants in the groundwater. It's everywhere. And all these people are comfortable with it. And I'm not.
Listen for it. Smack it down when you see it.
Republican Senator Susan Collins called the police over a chalk message in front of her house asking her, please, to support the Women's Health Protection Act.
Please, it said in chalk on her sidewalk.
She called the cops, cowering behind her Venetian blinds. Oh, my God. I think they've got chalk. Yeah, they're chalking the sidewalk. Oh, yeah. Come get them. Send as many cops as you got. Send everybody, for God's sake. They're chalking the sidewalk. By the way, you're taking away women's rights. Well, you know, that's just a thing that happens.
I'm very concerned, but I'm not. That bill goes too far.
Yeah. I think she should just write a concerned letter to the manufacturers of chalk, asking them to please stop making chalk so scary. And I would remind you that your good money went to, not ours, of course, but a lot of liberals paid the Lincoln Project a lot of money on the promise they could knock her off with one hand tied behind their back.
It would be easy. So, yeah. Sure,
easy peasy.
The White House warned that the country is at serious risk of a nationwide ban on abortion after Mitch McConnell said it was entirely possible that could happen.
And then he said it wasn't. And then I realized that I should say it wasn't, so I did. And my stenographers.
And then I chided the press again to tell them that what I said was not the story.
Oh, you know I'm famous for my my sense of humor. Justice Clarence Thomas, whose wife sent 21 text messages to the White House chief of staff begging him to take steps to overturn the 2020 election, said that he's worried about declining respect for the Supreme Court.
You know, he could increase respect for the Supreme Court a great deal by resigning.
Just recuse
just
yourself.
Quit.
Just quit. You should quit this job. You hate this job so much, you should quit it.
You should definitely retire.
Well, he spent a year after Tony Scalia died wandering around asking everyone in a suit, are you my daddy now? Are you my daddy?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Joe Biden announced that 20 internet companies agreed to provide discounted high-speed internet service to low-income customers. Biden did that. Put one of the stickers on that with Biden. I did that. That's a Biden sticker moment.
Thanks, Brandon. No, he did that.
And he did that. Stick one on your laptop. Biden did that. Yep.
And it's one of those things that was a pet peeve of mine. When I worked at the city of Chicago, I had a whole project lined up for that sort of thing. And getting that is something that Clinton was talking about back during the information superhighway days. Mm-hmm. And Biden delivered on it and is delivering on it. And
there's going to be challenges. There are parts of the country where it's mountainous and it's difficult.
Sure.
And it's a challenge, and it's going to require investment from the bipartisan infrastructure bill to make that possible in parts of the country like Joe Manchin's West Virginia and Western North Carolina. It's a government project to do that.
It is. And Thomas Massie this week, a Republican from Kentucky, I believe, went out of his way to say, you know, the U.S. has already spent twice as much on Ukraine aid as they spent on infrastructure. You know, remember that next time you have to get your rim banged out because you've hit a pothole or you're in a traffic jam. Thomas Massie voted against the infrastructure bill.
Wow.
But Thomas Massie lives in a part of Kentucky where he's pretty sure that most of the people who vote for him are too stupid to know that and don't care if they did. So you get the representatives you deserve, I suppose. A Florida judge has signaled that congressional map championed by Governor Ron DeSantis is very likely unconstitutional because it stripped representation from black districts.
And that Florida judge was a district court judge who was appointed by Ron DeSantis.
That's how
bad it is. That's how bad his gerrymander was. A Ron DeSantis appointee had to point out it was unconstitutional.
You're saying Disney got to him, Blue.
Big Disney got to him.
Yeah.
The pace of inflation eased slightly in April for the first time in 7 months, but the Wall Street Journal lied about it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the business they've chosen.
It's super fun activity of conservatives to lie about statistics and add this month's inflation numbers to all the inflation numbers and say, inflation's at 361%.
Well, yeah. And those of us with, you know, funky good memories about weird shit remember when Bill O'Reilly made a huge deal about, you know, the economy during George Bush's administration at this point is exactly where it is under Barack Obama at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or this notion that they're somehow Obama's doing great and Bush did terrible is just lies. And he just pounded on that. And someone had the temerity to just mount the two graphs over one another, go, here's George Bush's economy plunging into the abyss. And here's Barack Obama's economy dragging itself out of the abyss that George Bush plunged it into. And here's the crossover point. And that's what Bill O'Reilly.
That's what Bill O'Reilly's reporting.
And that's what Bill so Bill O'Reilly's lying to you knowing that you're too brainwashed or too stupid to look it up for yourself. You'll believe it because it came out of his fat, dumb mouth.
Yep.
Tide goes in, tide goes out. Who knows
how that works? Who knows how this thing works? Several people who served as fake Republican electors in Georgia are cooperating in the criminal probe of Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And as I said on Twitter, everything they did was in their own self-interest. They were hoping for a job in the corrupt Trump administration and their reward. And then when it comes down to, no, you're going to be indicted and said, they sing like canaries because they don't want to go to jail.
No.
During interviews with Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis's office, witnesses have reportedly provided significant information about what happened on December 14th, 2020, when pro-Trump electors met and voted on alternate slates. These folks have enough money to have a lawyer, and their instruction to their lawyer is, keep me out of jail. Mm-hmm. And the lawyer says, cooperate, and I'll work on it. And they are cooperating.
Wait a minute. Now, I don't understand calendars. Gregorian, Julian, they confuse me. But December 14th, 2020 is before January 6th, 2021,
exactly.
Right? So that would be premeditated then.
Premeditated conspiracy.
Yeah.
To overthrow a free and fair election, Driftglass.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm no lawyer, but I lie about being one on this podcast. A federal judge dismissed Trump's lawsuit seeking to reinstate his Twitter account. Who was the crazy lady who chained herself to Twitter door and said, I got to get me back on Twitter. Yeah. Remember her?
In Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially what Donald Trump is doing with a lot more money. Mm-hmm. However, he's got a good friend in Elon Musk who has promised that he would reverse Trump's permanent ban if his deal to buy the social network goes through and if his crypto stock is worth anything by tomorrow morning.
And if his Tesla stock is worth
two-thirds
of what it was worth when he offered to buy. It's down a lot
today. I don't know. It's like 30%, something like that.
Yeah,
it's
something like that.
Dropping like George Bush's economy. Yeah.
It's like it's not sure. We're not sure he has the money to buy Twitter anymore.
No.
Seriously. No.
Well, and as you know, Blue Gal, I wisely converted all of our crypto to NFTs just in time. So I think we're going to be safe. I think we're going to be just fine.
Uh-huh. I know. You've talked about converting all of your Photoshops to NFTs. And I say, No. There's we're going to save our souls instead.
Okay. I suppose so.
Hey, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitties are Lulu and Ollie. And product placement, Driftglass, in the picture, they are very busy eating freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor.
You know, the money we are rolling in from freshly poured.
From our fake non-existent sponsor, freshly poured cat food.
We got to bring back a whole bunch of our fake sponsors because we're running short of cash. And now that our crypto is worthless, we got to find another way.
I really am sorry about that. This year has been a year of healthcare bills for me. I know that. And we have a $10,000 deductible on our insurance. So
We might hit that.
It's terrible. I know you are so good to take care of me, Driftglass. You take me to every doctor appointment and you look at the doctor. And it's not that doctors, I am an assertive person, in case you haven't noticed. I'm able to look at a doctor and insist that they listen to me. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference having a man in the room. And that's just science. That's just, you know, on occasion, that's just science. When the husband is present.
And no kidding, you know, when when we have our, we try to get our doctor's appointment on the same doctor, same day, just right. one after
we have another. The same primary care physician.
And right. holding hands.
Yeah.
When taking blood pressure drops our blood pressure, yours and mine, 10, 15
couple points. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It really does. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. this is no kidding. It's a stressful experience. I'm sure everyone has different experiences, but I have white smock disease where I walk yeah. in and my blood pressure just spikes because I'm in a doctor's office. And having my beautiful, wonderful, supportive wife there with me is just amazing, just wonderful. And we can sort of tag team the doctor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bring our jokes and we bring our opinions, and it makes what is otherwise kind of uncomfortable,
stressful
yeah. kind of pleasant. You know, I read yeah. aloud from Ayn Rand, as I know you
no,
like
he
that
does
I
not.
Do.
No.
And oh, guess what she said on page 1020 no. of Atlas no. Shrugged, little gal.
Speaking of blood pressure, no.
Yeah, no. Anyway, continuing.
Yes. Freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Direct, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Lulu and Ollie. They are eating in this picture at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can write to both of us. Feel free to write to us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Driftglass, we heard from Dog-Faced Herman this week.
Yes.
That the visitor is now the resident. Our
yes.
former internet kitty of the week who was, you know, sniffing around the house and we were pretty sure was going to move in has arrived yes. and decided to adopt Dog-Faced Herman, as now, everyone predicted.
Now the countdown begins to see when the occupant becomes the occupant. Lord of the manor.
The occupant. That's what he's yeah. called. That's right. Currently yeah. called the occupant.
Uh-huh.
And we have a listener, long time, very supportive listener, Raymond, who knows that I love to get cards that have yellow in them because it's such a cheerful color. And I put them on my desk and it cheers me up. So he sent a card that is bright yellow and he wrote in it. And I wanted to share this because I think it's instructive. He wrote and he said, howdy. And this was written in the past week. Howdy. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But take care.
Yeah.
And that's all he wrote. And he included a contribution. We're very grateful for that. But I think sometimes there's pressure that people feel when they write to us that they have to write to us like Driftglass.
Yes.
They have to write a Driftglass post in order to write to us. You don't. A little note on a post-it note that says, keep going, means so much to us.
It does. And part of his message, I think, is like, you know, the world is so screwed up as yeah. it is now.
Yep.
You know, don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure he was responding to my podcast last week too, when exactly. I got emotional. But
exactly.
You know, what do you say to that? And there isn't anything to say, but say I'm in your corner is a huge thing to say.
Yeah. Hand on the shoulder.
So appreciate it.
Means the world, you know.
Yeah.
When there are no
yeah.
words, you know, don't look for
yep.
them.
Yep. Just we're with you is enough. And so much appreciate that. I don't want to forget to say hashtag jail to joy. I don't know why he still has a job, but he's got to get fired. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. Boy, we could use an iced coffee this week. It's just as hot as Hades here.
It went up a big
bunch. It went from 70 to 90. Yeah, it really did. So don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an iced espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and we so appreciate your support. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can, too. See our website. Thank you to Tammy, our angel nerd, for maintaining all of that. ProLeftPod.com. You can go there and see our PayPal, postal address information. The GoFundMe button is there. Our merch is there. We have Both Sides Don't Bumper stickers. You know, if you really want to rankle the neighborhood. There you go. Both Sides Don't Bumper sticker.
Sometimes words are effective. So
yes, sometimes they are. It's all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, let us know. Send us a note or a donation and get someone else to listen to. And thank you for doing all of that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties have a feeling that Susan Collins needs more chalk messages, not less.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey, dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.